Ancient Fathers, Volume 1, Chapter 41, Continuation of the Same Subject. Let every one of you, brethren, give thanks to God in his own order, living in all good conscience with becoming gravity, and not going beyond the rule of the ministry prescribed to him. Not in every place, brethren, are the daily sacrifices offered, or the peace offerings, or the sin offerings, and the trespass offerings, but in Jerusalem only. And even there they are not offered in any place, but only at the altar before the temple, that which is offered being first carefully examined by the high priest and the ministers already mentioned. Those, therefore, who do anything beyond that which is agreeable to his will are punished with death. Ye see, brethren, that the greater the knowledge that has been vouchsafed to us, the greater also is the danger to which we are exposed. Ancient Fathers, Volume 1, Chapter 42, The Order of Ministers in the Church. The apostles have preached the gospel to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has done so from God. Christ, therefore, was sent forth by God, and the apostles by Christ. Both these appointments, then, were made in an orderly way, according to the will of God. Having therefore received their orders and being fully assured by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and established in the word of God with full assurance of the Holy Ghost, they went forth proclaiming that the kingdom of God was at hand. And thus preaching through cities and countries, they appointed their first fruits of their labors, having first proved them by the Spirit to be bishops and deacons by those who should afterwards believe. Nor was this any new thing, since indeed many ages before it was written concerning bishops and deacons. For thus saith the Scripture in a certain place, I will appoint their bishops and righteousness and their deacons in faith. End of chapter 42. Ancient Fathers, Volume 1, Chapter 43. Moses of old stilled the contention which arose concerning the priestly dignity. And what wonder is it if those in Christ who were entrusted with such a duty by God appointed those ministers before mentioned, when the blessed Moses also, a faithful servant in all his house, noted down in the sacred books all the injunctions which were given him, and when the other prophets also followed him, bearing witness with one consent to the ordinances which he had appointed? For when rivalry arose concerning the priesthood, and the tribes were contending among themselves as to which of them should be adorned with the glorious title, he commanded the 12 princes of the tribes to bring him their rods, each one being inscribed with the name of the tribe, and he took them and bound them together, and sealed them with the rings of the princes of the tribes, and laid them up in the tabernacle of witness on the table of God. And having shut the doors of the tabernacle, he sealed the keys, as he had done with the rods, and said to them, Men and brethren, the tribe whose rod shall blossom has God chosen to fulfill the office of the priesthood, and to minister unto him. And when the morning was come, he assembled all Israel, 600,000 men, and showed the seals to the princes of the tribes, and opened the tabernacle of witness, and brought forth the rods. The rod of Aaron was found not only to have blossom, but to bear fruit upon it. What think ye, beloved? Did not Moses know first beforehand that this would happen? Undoubtedly he knew, but he acted thus, that there might be no sedition in Israel, and that the name of the true and only God might be glorified, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. End of chapter 43. Ancient Fathers, Volume 1, Chapter 44. The Ordinances of the Apostles, that there might be no contention respecting the priestly office. Our apostles also knew, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be strife on account of the office of the episcopate. For this reason, therefore, inasmuch as they had obtained a perfect foreknowledge of this, they appointed those ministers already mentioned, and afterwards gave instructions that when these should fall asleep, other approved men should succeed them in their ministry. We are of opinion, therefore, that those appointed by them, or afterwards by other eminent men, with the consent of the whole church, and who have blamelessly served the flock of Christ in a humble, peaceable, and disinterested spirit, and have for a long time possessed the good opinion of all, cannot be justly dismissed from the ministry. For our sin will not be small if we eject from the episcopate those who have blamelessly and wholly fulfilled its duties. Blessed are those presbyters who have, having finished their course before now, have obtained a fruitful and perfect departure from this world. For they have no fear lest anyone deprive them of the place now appointed them. And we see that ye have removed some men of excellent behavior from the ministry, which they fulfill blamelessly and with honor. End of chapter 44. Ancient Fathers, Volume 1, Chapter 45. It is the part of the wicked to vex the righteous. Ye are fond of contention, brethren, and full of zeal about things which do not pertain to salvation. Look carefully into the Scriptures, which are the true utterances of the Holy Spirit. Observe that nothing of an unjust or counterfeit character is written in them. There you will not find the righteous were cast off by men who themselves were holy. The righteous were indeed persecuted, but only by the wicked. They were cast into prison, but only by the unholy. They were stoned, but only by transgressors. They were slain, but only by the accursed, and such as had conceived an unrighteous envy against them. Exposed in such sufferings, they endured them gloriously. For what shall we say, brethren? Was Daniel cast into the den of lions by such as feared God? Like were Azarias and Ananias and Mishael shut up in the furnace of fire by those who observed the great and glorious worship of the Most High? Far from us be such a thought. Who then were they that did such things? The hateful and those full of all wickedness were roused to such a fit of flurry that they inflicted torture on those who served God with a holy and blameless purpose of heart, not knowing that the Most High is the defender and protector of all such as with a weak conscience venerate His all excellent name, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But they who with confidence endured these things are now heirs of glory and honor and have been exalted and made illustrious by God and immemorial forever and ever. Amen. End of chapter 45. Church Fathers, the First Epistle of Clemens to the Corinthians. Chapter 46. Let us cleave to the righteous, your strife is pernicious. For such examples, therefore, brother, it is right that we should follow, since it is written, cleave to the holy. For those that cleave to them shall, themselves, be made holy. And again, in another place, the Scripture saith, with a harmless man thou shalt prove thyself perverse. Psalms 18, verse 25 and 26. Let us cleave, therefore, to the innocent and righteous, since these are the elect of God. Why are these strifes and tumults and divisions and schisms and wars among you? Have we not all one God and one Christ? Is there not one Spirit of grace poured out upon us? And have we not one calling in Christ? Why do we divide and tear to pieces the members of Christ and raise up strife against our own body, and have reached such a height of madness as to forget that we are members one of another? Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, woe to that man by whom offenses come. It were better for him that he had never been born than that he should cast a stumbling block before one of my elect. Yea, it were better for him that a millstone should be hung about his neck, and he should be sunk into the depths of the sea, than that he should cast a stumbling block before one of my little ones. Your schism has subverted the faith of many, has discouraged many, has given rise to doubt in many, and has caused grief to us all. And still, your sedition cometh. End of chapter 46. Chapter 47. Your recent discourse is worse than the former, which took place in Paul's time. Take out the epistle of the blessed Apostle Paul. What did he write to you at the time when the gospel first began to be preached? Truly, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he wrote to you concerning himself and Cyrus and Apollos, because even then parties had been formed among you. But that inclination for one above another entailed less guilt upon you, inasmuch as your partialities were then shown towards apostles, already of high reputation, and towards a man whom they had approved. But now reflect who those are that have perverted you, and lessen the renown of your far-famed brotherly love. It is disgraceful, beloved, yea, highly disgraceful, and unworthy of your Christian profession, that such a thing should be heard of as that the most steadfast and ancient church of the Corinthians should, on account of one or two persons, engage in sedition against its presbyters. And this rumor has reached not only us, but those also who are unconnected with us, so that, through your infatuations, the name of the Lord is blasphemed, while danger is also brought upon yourselves. End of chapter 47. Ancient Fathers, Volume 1. The First Epistle of Clemens to the Corinthians. Chapter 48. Let us return to the practice of brotherly love. Let us therefore with all haste put an end to this state of things, and let us fall down before the Lord, and beseech him with tears, that he would mercifully be reconciled to us, and restore us to our former, seemingly, and holy practice of brotherly love. For such conduct is the gate of righteousness, which is open, set up for the attainment of life, as it is written, "Open to me the gate of righteousness, and I will go in by them, and will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter in by it." Although, therefore, many gates have been set open, yet this gate of righteousness is that gate in Christ, by which blessed are all they that have entered in and have directed their way in holiness and righteousness, doing all things without disorder. Let a man be faithful. Let him be powerful in the utterance of knowledge. Let him be wise in judging of words. Let him be pure in all his deeds. Yet the more he seems to be superior to others in this respect, the more humble-minded ought he be to be, and to seek the common good of all, and not merely his own advantage. End of chapter 38, and be read by Peter John Parisius. Chapter 49, the praise of love. Let him who has love in Christ keep the commandments of Christ. Who can describe the blessed bond of the love of God? What man is able to tell the excellency of its beauty as it ought to be told? The height to which love exalts is unspeakable. Love unites us to God. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love beareth all things, is long-suffering in all things. There is nothing base or nothing arrogant in love. Love admits of no schism. Love gives rise to no seditions. Love does all things in harmony. By love have all the elect of God been made perfect. Without love nothing is well-pleasing to God. In love has the Lord taken us to himself. On account of the love he bore us, Jesus Christ our Lord gave his blood for us by the will of God. His flesh for our flesh, and his soul for our soul. End of chapter 49. Chapter 50. Let us pray to be thought worthy of love. Ye see, beloved, how great and wonderful a thing is love, and that there is no declaring its perfection, who is fit to be found in it, except such as God has vouchsafed to render so. Let us pray, therefore, and implore of his mercy, that we may live blameless in love, free from all human partialities, for one above another. All the generations from Adam, even unto this day, have passed away, but those who, through the grace of God, have been made perfect in love, now possess a place among the godly, and shall be made manifest at the revelation of the kingdom of Christ. For it is written, "Enter into thy secret chamber for a little time, until my wrath and fury pass away, and I will remember a propitious day, and will raise you up out of your graves." Blessed are we, beloved, if we keep the commandments of God in the harmony of love, that so through love our sins may be forgiven us. For it is written, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not impute to him, and in whose mouth there is no guile." This blessedness cometh upon those who have been chosen by God through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. End of chapter 50. Chapter 51. Let the partakers in strife acknowledge their sins. Let us therefore implore forgiveness for all those transgressions which, through any suggestion of the adversary, we have committed. And those who have been the leaders of sedition and disagreement ought to have respect to the common hope. For such as live in fear and love would rather that they themselves than their neighbors should be involved in suffering. And they prefer to bear blame themselves rather than that the concord which has been made well and piously handled down to us should suffer. For it is better that a man should acknowledge his transgressions than that he should harden his heart, as the heart of those who stirred up sedition against Moses, the servant of God, and whose condemnation was made manifest unto all. For they went down alive into Hades, and death swallowed them up, Pharaoh with his army and all the princes of Egypt, and the chariots with their riders were sunk into the depths of the Red Sea, and perished, for no other reason than that their foolish hearts were hardened, after so many signs and wonders had been wrought in the land of Egypt by Moses, the servant of God. End of chapter 51. Chapter 52. Such a confession is pleasing to God. The Lord, brethren, stands in need of nothing, and he desires nothing of any one, except that confession be made to him. For, says the elect David, quote, I will confess unto the Lord, and that will please him more than a young bullock that has horns and hooves. Let the poor see it, and be glad. Unquote. And again he saith, quote, offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of thy trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Unquote. For, quote, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. Unquote. End of chapter 52. Chapter 53. The love of Moses towards his people. Ye understand, beloved, ye understand well the sacred scriptures, and ye have looked very earnestly into the oracles of God. Call then these things to your remembrance. When Moses went up into the mount and abode there, with fasting and humiliation, 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord said unto him, Moses, Moses, get thee down quickly from hence. For thy people, whom thou didst bring out of the land of Egypt, have committed iniquity. They have speedily departed from the way in which I commanded them to walk, and have made to themselves molten images. And the Lord said unto him, I have spoken to thee once and again, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make thee a great and wonderful nation, and one much more numerous than this. But Moses said, Far be it from thee, Lord, pardon the sin of thy people, else blot me also out of the book of the living. O marvelous love, O insuperable perfection, the servant speaks freely to his Lord, and asks forgiveness for the people, or begs that he himself might perish along with them. End of chapter 53. Chapter 54. He who is full of love will incur every loss, that peace may be restored to the church. Who then among you is noble-minded? Who compassionate? Who full of love? Let him declare, if on my account sedition and disagreement and schisms have arisen, I will depart. I will go away whithersoever ye desire, and I will do whatever the majority commands. Only let the flock of Christ live on terms of peace, with the presbyter set over it. He that acts thus shall procure to himself great glory in the Lord, and every place will welcome him. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. These things they who live a godly life that is never to be repented of, both have done, and always will do. End of chapter 54. Clemens, chapter 55. Examples of such love. To bring forward some examples from among the heathen, many kings and princes in times of pestilence when they have been instructed by an oracle, have given themselves up to death, in order that by their own blood they might deliver their fellow citizens from destruction. Many have gone forth from their own cities, that some sedition might be brought to an end within them. We know many among ourselves who have given themselves up to bonds, in order that they might ransom others. Many, too, have surrendered themselves to slavery, that with the price which they receive for themselves, they might provide food for others. Many women also, being strengthened by the grace of God, have performed numerous manly exploits. The blessed Judith, when her city was besieged, asked the elders permission to go forth into the camp of the strangers, and exposing herself to danger, she went out for the love which she bare to her country and people then besieged. And the Lord delivered Holofernes, Holofernes, into the hands of a woman. Esther, also, being perfect in faith, exposed herself to no less danger in order to deliver the 12 tribes of Israel from impending destruction. For with fasting and humiliation, she entreated the everlasting God who seeth all things, and he, perceiving the humility of her spirit, delivered the people for whose sake she had encountered peril. End of chapter 55. Clemens, chapter 56. Let us admonish and correct one another. Let us then also pray for those who have fallen into any sin, that meekness and humility may be given to them, so that they may submit, not unto us, but to the will of God. For in this way they shall secure a fruitful and perfect remembrance from us, with sympathy for them, both in our prayers to God and our mention to them, to the saints. Let us receive correction, beloved, on account of which no one should feel displeased. Those exhortations by which we admonish one another are both good in themselves and highly profitable, for they tend to unite us to the will of God. For thus saith the Holy Word, quote, "The Lord hath severely chastened me, yet hath not given me over to death," unquote. Quote, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth," unquote. Quote, "The righteous," unquote, saith it, quote, "shall chasten me in mercy and reprove me, but let not the oil of sinners make fat my head," unquote. And again, he saith, quote, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord reproveth, and reject not thou the warning of the Almighty. For he causeth sorrow, and again restores to gladness. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, and the 7th, no evil shall touch thee. In famine he shall rescue thee from death, and in war he shall free thee from the power of the sword. From the scourge of the tongue will he hide thee, and thou shalt not fear when evil cometh. Thou shalt laugh at the unrighteous and the wicked, and shall not be afraid of the beast of the field. For the wild beast shall be at peace with thee. Then shalt thou know that thy house shall be in peace, and the habitation of thy tabernacle shall not fail. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy children like the grass of the field. And thou shalt come to the grave like ripened corn, which is reaped in its season, and like a heap on the threshing floor, which is gathered together at the proper time. Ye see, beloved, that protection is afforded to those that are chastened of the Lord. For since God is good, he corrects us, that we may be admonished by his holy chastisement. End of chapter 56. Clemens, chapter 57. Let the authors of sedition submit themselves. Ye, therefore, who lay the foundation of this sedition, submit yourselves to the presbyters, and receive correction as to repent, bend to the knees of your hearts. Learn to be subject, laying aside the proud and arrogant self-confidence of your tongue. For it is better for you that ye should occupy a humble but honorable place in the flock of Christ, than that, being highly exalted, ye should be cast out from the hope of his people. For thus speaketh all virtuous wisdom, "Behold, I will bring forth to you the words of my spirit, and I will teach you my speech. Since I called, and ye did not hear, I held forth my words, and ye did not regard, but said it not my counsels, and yielded not at my reproofs. Therefore I will laugh at your destruction. Yea, I will rejoice when ruin cometh upon you, and when sudden confusion overtakes you, when overturning presents itself like a tempest, or when tribulation and oppression fall upon you. For it shall come to pass that when ye are called upon me, I will not hear you, and the wicked shall seek me, and they shall not find me. For they hated wisdom, did not choose the fear of the Lord, nor would they listen to my counsels, but despised my reproofs. Wherefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and they shall be filled with their own ungodliness. End of chapter 57. Clemens, chapter 58. Blessings sought for all that call upon God. May God, who seeth all things, and who is the ruler of all spirits, and the Lord of all flesh, who choose our Lord Jesus Christ and us through him to be a peculiar people, grant to every soul that calleth upon his glorious and holy name, fear, faith, fear, peace, patience, long-suffering, self-control, purity, and sobriety, to the well-pleasing of his name, through our high priest and protector, Jesus Christ, by whom be to him glory, and majesty, and power, and honor, both now and forever. Amen. End of chapter 58. Clemens, chapter 59. The Corinthians are exhorted speedily to send back word that peace has been restored. The benediction. Send back speedily to us in peace, and with joy. These are messages to you, Claudius Epitus, and Virilius Bito, from Fortunus, that they may the sooner announce to us the peace and harmony we so earnestly desire and long for among you, that we may the more quickly rejoice over the good order reestablished among you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and with all elsewhere that are called of God through him, by whom be to him glory, honor, power, majesty, and eternal dominion, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. End of Clemens of Rome, the first epistle of Clemens to the Corinthians, having been read by Peter John Parisius.